Ask people what they know about Augustine, and they're likely to say one of three things. He invented just war, he thought sex is sinful, and he said, "Give me chastity, but not yet." Augustine didn't invent just war. He read Cicero, who 400 years earlier set out the standard Roman view. A just war is war against an aggressor, who is unjust in taking land or property that belongs to someone else. Just war can be fought in defense of allies. Cicero remarked that by defending their allies, the Romans had acquired a great empire. And Augustine commented that they knew who to thank for their empire, not the gods of Rome, but other people's injustice. Augustine did not approve of wars fought to extend power and territory, but he accepted that wars would always be necessary to maintain peace and order against human greed and power lust. But didn't Jesus say that Christians should turn the other cheek if someone hits them in the face? Augustine thought that it depends on your job. In this world, there will always be conflicts, and we will always need to manage them by systems in which some people give the orders and others take them. If you are the properly authorized power and you command troops, then your job is to fight off invaders and your soldiers' job is to follow your orders. But you and your soldiers must be motivated by desire for peace, not by hatred. Otherwise, even if your war is just, you aren't.
Take away justice, and what else is a kingdom but a large-scale gang? What else is a gang but a small-scale kingdom? A gang is a group of people ruled by the orders of its chief, bound by a social contract, dividing loot by legal agreement. If this bad thing recruits more criminals and grows so big that it occupies territory, establishes a base, takes over cities, and subjugates other peoples, it takes the name kingdom. And it has already acquired that name, not by renouncing greed, but by achieving impunity. A captured pirate made a clever and true reply to Alexander the Great, who asked him what he thought he was doing infesting the sea. The man replied insolently, "The same as you, infesting the world. But because I do it with a little boat, I am called pirate. And because you do it with a big fleet, you are called emperor."
Augustine did not say, "You know your war is just if God tells you to fight it." That happens sometimes in the Bible. But anyone who now thinks God has told them to fight a war should be very careful indeed. Even with the best of intentions, human beings get things wrong, because we do not know enough about other people's actions and motives. In City of God, Augustine considered the judge who needs to identify a criminal. Under Roman law, the judge could order suspects to be tortured. So the judge might cause the death by torture of an innocent man and still not know the truth. But he has to act, because human life will be even more difficult if judges and generals and governors do not do their job. What is the city of God? Augustine thought that all of us belong to one of two cities, that is, two communities, which have been created by two loves. The city of God is the community of all who love God, even if that means disregarding themselves. The earthly city is the community of all who love themselves, even if that means disregarding God. We do not know who is a citizen of which city. Over the centuries, many readers of Augustine have claimed that the city of God is the same as the church. But that is true only if church means the blessed company of all faithful people, not the buildings and the institutions and the hierarchies. Augustine said that there are citizens of the earthly city in church congregations, and citizens of God's city in the institutions of government. It all depends on what you want most, on what you love.
God, our teacher, gave us two main precepts, love of God and love of our neighbour. Here we find three to love, God, ourself, and our neighbour. We do not go wrong in loving ourselves if we love God. So we must think how our neighbour can come to love God, because we are told to love our neighbour as ourselves, and to love spouse, children, servants, and everyone else we can. And we will want our neighbour to think how we can come to love God, if we need help. So we must be at peace, as far as it depends on us, with all human beings. Human peace, which is agreement in right order. Order which is first to do harm to no one, and second, to do good to everyone we can. In the household of the just person who lives by faith, those who command others are serving those they appear to command. They do not give orders because they want to be in charge, but because it is their job to think for others. They are not proud to rule, but concerned to provide.
Augustine didn't say that sex is sinful. It has become sinful, like everything else that human beings do, because it is mixed up with possessiveness and power lust and bodies we can't control. But it wasn't meant to be like that when God invented sex. The creation story in the book of Genesis says that God made humans male and female and blessed them and told them to increase and multiply. He also told them not to eat fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because they would die if they did. Some people in Augustine's time thought that sex came only after Adam and Eve disobeyed God and were expelled from paradise. They ate the fruit, so they knew evil as well as good, and that meant they would die. So the only way to save the human race was reproduction. Sex is damage limitation. Augustine disagreed. He thought that if Adam and Eve had not disobeyed God, there would have been sex in paradise, only much better. As it is now, physical response doesn't match emotional response. People can't choose to conceive a child, but are anxious about infertility and unintended pregnancy. There is pain and danger in pregnancy and childbirth, and the child inherits all the human tendencies to go wrong. Sin is genetic. But if Adam and Eve had not fallen away from God, their bodies would have responded effortlessly to their wills. Human beings could have made a conscious choice to conceive a child, controlling the process as easily as they decide to shake hands, and the child would be born safely and painlessly. If you think that sounds very dull, Augustine would ask why you prefer the present system, and what that tells you about human nature. Augustine did say, "Give me chastity and continence, but not yet." But he said it about the way he prayed as a young man, when he felt that his life was all over the place. He was faithful to his partner and conscientious in his work as a teacher in higher education, but he was always distracted by competing priorities. Continence means more than sexual continence. It means getting your life together so that you can do what you really want. For years, Augustine was afraid that God would answer his prayer. But when it did happen, it felt like liberation. He hoped for a life of prayer and study, shared with a community of friends, free from possessiveness about family and property. He got it, and the Order of St. Augustine continues his work. But when he became a bishop, the life of prayer and study included a very heavy workload, settling disputes in civil law, intervening with the authorities, and most difficult of all, dealing with differences among the churches. He preached every Sunday, trying to explain the Bible to anyone who came along. This is much more difficult than lecturing on Virgil to highly educated students. Though if you ever heard or given a lecture, some of Augustine's techniques are very recognizable. Somehow in the midst of it all, he found time to write letters and Bible commentaries and works of theology, and unfortunately works of polemic that are long on rhetoric and short on charity. He wrote all that, including the polemic, because he took very seriously his responsibility for the people who heard him preach.
That's why I'm saying to you, my brothers, my sons, if you have a wife, don't get involved with anyone else. If you don't have a wife and would like to marry, keep yourself for her, just as you want her to keep herself for you. If you've promised to get your life together, don't look back. There, I've said it. I've done my job. The Lord put me here to tell you, not to force you. But when I can, when it's given me, when it's allowed, when I know, then I rebuke, denounce, exclude, excommunicate. But I don't put you right, because it's not the one who plants or waters the seed who is important, it's God who gives growth. And now when I speak to you and scare you and warn you, I need God to hear me and do something in silence in your hearts. Let me speak freely, even on this. Let me speak the truth, even on this. People must correct themselves while they live. Death comes suddenly, and no one can be corrected. They don't know when the last hour comes. They say, crass, crass, like a crow, tomorrow, tomorrow. They go and do not come back.